for worship.
It really is something that's very, very important. I think sometimes we don't recognize or we forget just how important worship really is. And I know for myself personally, as I was reading numbers of scripture about worship this week, that I just feel the Lord just speaking and just reminding me of just really how important it is to take time to worship. So if you have your Bible, Psalm 100, 1 to 5, just short little psalm. It says, "Shout with joy to the Lord, all the earth. Worship the Lord with gladness. Come before him singing with joy. Acknowledge that the Lord is God. He made us and we are his. We are his people, the sheep of his pasture. Enter his gates with thanksgiving. Go into his courts with praise. Give thanks to him and praise his name. For the Lord is good. His unfailing love continues forever. His faithfulness continues to each generation." Heavenly Father, as we come to you today, Lord, we just want to be looking at our worship. And God, we want our worship to be pleasing to you. And so, Lord, I pray that through this month, that, Lord, that you would speak to us, that we would hear through the Holy Spirit about worship, that we would hear, Lord, through our prayers, that we would hear, Lord, as we just shut ourselves in with you, that, Lord, that you would help us to hear better, you would help us to see better, you would help us to understand better about all the spiritual things that, Lord, you want to speak into our lives. And so, Lord, I just pray, start that today and speak to us today, Lord, as we look at this subject of worship and preparing ourselves for worship. So worship is something that's it's very important. I think it's a lot more important than what we realize in our churches. And if you're a visitor here in this church, you're going to find that we do value worship here. That's important to us. We love to sing and we love to worship and we love to take those times. And as we come into the new year, we really felt as a staff here that we'd like to focus on our worship to God. And that we'd like to use this month to take our messages and really focus on this whole area of worship, of prayer, praise times, worship times. And then to end this month with a praise and worship time in the evening where we just shut ourselves in with God and practice what we've been hearing and learning throughout the month. And we recognize that as we worship, as we take that time to worship, it opens the door to God's heart, and that good things happen when we enter in and when we worship God. We also recognize that God is worthy of our worship, and whether it be a short time, a long time, God is worthy of our worship for every minute, every second, every hour, no matter how long or how short, he is always worthy of our worship. And personally, I really believe that in our churches today, I really believe that we're hearing this very important part of our service. And, we as a board of this church, as the pastors of the church, we want to make sure that we're going to give ample time in our service to worship God. And so, as I said, we're going to be sharing messages throughout the month all about worship and to encourage us in this whole area that we might take the time to worship God and that others can join us. So we're messing up the services a little bit. As some people that come late or don't get here on time, that you're all included in this time of worship. And as we do that, I'm really expecting to hear from God, and I'm really expecting that we might experience God's presence even more. And we really need that. We really do. And as we emphasize worship, you take a dictionary, and you look at a dictionary, and it describes worship as reverence or devotion to God that includes intense love, devotion, and honor. And those things are all very important in our worship, that we show that we actually love what we're doing, that we do love God, that we are honoring God, that we're acknowledging God, that we're being reverent before him. And worship can take, many forms and various styles of worship, but what's really important is what is coming from our hearts. Looking at the Hebrew word for worship, it means to bow down, to prostrate oneself before God in honor and reverence. And as you look at the Greek word for worship, it basically says the same thing. It's basically referring to prostration and honor before God in reverence before God. And we want to do that. We want to give honor to God. We want to give reverence to God. We want to make sure that there's this sincerity on our parts as we come to worship the Lord, that as we come before him in true sincerity. Jesus put it in another way in John 4, 23 to 24. He says, "But the time is coming, indeed is here now, when true worshipers will worship the Father in spirit and in truth. And the Father is looking for those who will worship him that way. For God is spirit, so those who worship him must worship in spirit and in truth." I find it interesting that our Heavenly Father is actually watching. He's watching to see if people will truly worship him in spirit and in truth. He's looking throughout our world to see people. He's looking for those people that are responding to him. And as we respond to him, so often God then responds to us. And we need to remember that when we come into our worship time, that God's actually looking on a Sunday morning. And he sees people worshiping, he's looking. And he said, "I wonder what churches are really going to worship me today. What churches are going to press into me today? That's the church I'm going to be looking for." And that's what God does. Now, and when we talk about worshiping in spirit and truth, it's really talking about worshiping from the inside. What's on the inside? What's in the heart? And you know, if we have Jesus Christ inside of that spirit that is inside of us, crying out to God. But as we look at that spirit and truth, it's about being honest. It's being open with God. Worshiping from the inside. That kind of worship is also, the Bible says, be done in truth. So it's talking about there needs to be that reality that you know God. If you don't know who God is, then you truly can't really worship him in spirit and truth. You got to know who he is. Who is he? And if you don't know who he is, then you're not really worshiping. You're going through a lot of motions, but you're not truly worshiping him. So as we worship, it needs to be done in truth. There needs to be that reality that we actually know who God is, and that we've experienced him, and that we're in a right relationship with him. And that's the kind of worship God's looking for and desiring from us. You know, and sometimes worship, all it becomes is going through a set of motions or expressions or rituals. And they really don't impress God unless it's coming from our hearts. There's lots of different ways that we can worship God. We all have different personalities. We all have our likes and dislikes and our character. And there's all kinds of ways that we can worship God. But for each of us, we kind of have some favorites. Like we like to worship God in a certain way or a certain area. And that's okay as long as it's coming from the heart and from the inside. So that's something we need to be careful of, because God wants our worship to be authentic. He wants it to be real. He wants us to come before him in spirit and in truth. And that's not just having also a knowledge of God, but it's also the giving of ourselves to God, the commitment of ourselves to God. Romans 12:1 says, "And so, dear brothers and sisters, I plead with you to give your bodies to God because of all he has done for you. Let them be a living and holy sacrifice, the kind he will find acceptable. This is truly the way to worship him." And so again, for that worship to be true, to be spirit and in truth, it's not just the inside, it's also the outside of our actions, of how we live our lives as Christians. See, we are not our own. So often today we think, hey, I can do whatever I want. It's my body and I can do whatever I want. That's not quite true. The Bible says you've been bought with a price. You've been bought with the precious blood of Jesus Christ. And as we commit our lives to Jesus Christ, he is our Lord, he is our Savior, he is our God, and we choose to follow him. And so that has to be part of our worship, that we come into this place with that desire and that choice that I am here to worship my God, my Lord, my Savior. That's what I'm here to do, that we give God the priority of our lives, to seek first the kingdom of God. And true worship involves a right standing with God, right through to not just the inside, but also our lifestyle. And that's the kind of worship God's looking for. He's looking for those things first. Before we get into all those expressions of worship, God's looking on the inside. God's looking at our lives. That's what he's looking at, because that's the only place where true worship can really come. So as we worship God through many forms, expressions, and styles, our focus shouldn't be upon the style or the form, but rather the condition of our hearts and of our lives and where we're at with God. And if we find ourselves in a state where our hearts are far from him in worship, then we realize that we need some inner work to do. There's some things that we need to do with ourselves. There's some things that we need to change in our lives and get back to that place where our worship is authentic. It's real. And we worship him in spirit and truth. And so all those kinds of things are very, very important. And I realize we all have different tastes and different forms and backgrounds and personalities. And all that kind of comes into play in our worship. And we're not trying to force you to worship this way or that way. We just want to make you aware that there are various ways that we can worship God. And you will find yourself worshiping in ways that you find are comfortable to you. But sometimes I believe we need to take a step out and maybe worship God just maybe a little bit different way, or try something new as we worship the Lord. But the most important part is make sure it's from here. It's from the heart. That's not, you know, people can go through the motions. People can do all those things. We can look all spiritual and do all kinds of things. But if this heart's not right, then that worship really is all in vain. So we want to get this part inside right before we even get into those expressions. So the most important part of worship is that it's authentic, that it's real, it's from the heart. That's first and foremost. And when we get that right, then the forms and expressions and styles of our worship then will also be authentic and really, you know, from our own experience with God as well. And that's something that God's looking for. And as we read this psalm, it kind of gives us some of those outward expressions of worship. And we're not going to go into all of them, because there's a lot of outward expressions of worship. There's a whole lot more, I think, than most of us realize that are outward expressions of worship that God ordains. But yet sometimes as human beings, because of our likes and dislikes, we kind of like scratch them out or say, well, no, I don't like that, or I don't want to do this. But we need to realize that there's various ways that we all can worship God. But we're just going to talk about a few of them that we see in this psalm. And the very first, as you read this psalm, Psalm 101, it tells us, shout with joy to the Lord all the earth. So one of the first expressions of worship here is something that probably makes a lot of people uncomfortable, and that is to shout unto the Lord. And now, depending on your background, or depending if you've ever been in a church or not, or what kind of church you've been in, you might find, well, I've never heard that before, that people shout out, praise the Lord, or praise God, or people just begin to shout in the service. Well, you need to realize that's actually biblical. God encourages that. As a matter of fact, he's telling us, shout with joy, shout with joy. Now, for Canadians, if you've been brought up in Canada, grew up in Canada, born here, you'll probably find that we've been referred to, Canadians are usually referred to as a culture that's very reserved. And they tell us that that came from a lot of the British upbringing for a lot of people in that background, and that's part of the reason why Canada is considered, you know, very reserved. And if you've been to churches in other countries of the world, you will find that they're far more expressive than us Canadians. But thankfully, we've had many immigrants have come into our nation, and it's changing the culture of our worship, which is good, because really it's actually bringing us back to a culture that is the true culture of God and a true biblical culture, where there are various ways to worship God, and kind of breaks us out of that mold sometimes of being so reserved in our mindsets and in our culture. And so that's something that, you know, can be a little bit difficult for us. If we've been brought up to, you know, be a very reserved lifestyle, and you don't express yourself well, you know, you kind of keep things private, then if you can come into a service where there's people shouting and say, hallelujah, praise God, and you see an excitement in them, that can be kind of overwhelming for some people if you've been brought up more in a reserved culture. But yet we need to realize this is what God says is true worship. It's part of the worship that we should have. So shouting our worship, making a joyful noise unto God, is something that God encourages to do. It's a valid expression of biblical worship. But now as we think of that, we're not there just to make noise. And again, sometimes people just want to be heard. And people will just make noise just to draw attention to themselves. Again, it goes back to what's in the heart. That's what's important. We got to get back to the heart. When the heart's right, then all the expressions do become right. So that's something to think about. But another thing here, it says, shout with joy. Is there a joy in our worship? Do we love to worship? Because that's something very, very important that God wants to know from us. Do you love to worship? Do you want to do it? Are you happy about worship? Does it get you excited? Do we even care if we worship? You know, those answers kind of speak volumes of where we are in our Christianity. I've been reading a magazine called Faith Today. It's a Canadian magazine that looks at the church in Canada. And it's not very good of what they're saying. They're basically saying, again, Christianity is in decline, that the majority of people in our Canadian society today are considering themselves today as atheists, agnostics, or people have no religious affiliation. That's the majority of Canadians. And it stated that what Canada needs right now is revival. And that's so very, very true. We really need revival. But it can get back to the place, do we want to worship? We got to get to that place that we want to worship. That when we come to a church service or even in our own homes, you got to want to worship. It's something that you should desire to do. You should love to do it. It should be done with excitement, even if we shout. That should be done with excitement. Now, we all go to, at this time of year, our kids are usually into basketball or hockey. And when you go to those events and you're watching your kids play and the goals are being scored, what do? You get a little excited. You start to actually shout. Us reserved Canadians all of a sudden are shouting and we're standing to our feet and we're clapping our hands and raising our arms. And then we come to church and think, well, we can't do any of that kind of stuff. Yes, we can. If you're excited about God, yeah. Hey, God, yay. Yay, God. Stand up, get a little bit excited. We're serving the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, the great God who loves us and cares about us. So it's okay to shout. You do it at other things, and how much more should we be doing it to our God? So it says, shout with joy to God. Worship, it's about Him. It's not about our preferences. It's actually about His preferences. And so don't be scared of your voice. Shouting may not be your norm. I realize that. Maybe something that's even foreign to you. Maybe it's even something that, as far as you're a quiet person, is not part of your character. And that's okay. But I just want you to realize it's still a valid expression. And if there's others that want to give a shout, don't put them down for that. They're just maybe a little bit different than you are, and they want to get into it and just give a shout unto the Lord. Now, a second expression of worship is much more common in this church, and that is singing to the Lord. And we do like to sing. Although I've been not hearing a remark that usually I've been hearing for many, many years, that when people visit this church, I've often heard the remark where they come to me and say, Pastor, your people really love to sing. I haven't been hearing that of late. And I think we need to get back to that place that when people come into this church for the very first time, that at the end of that service, that they'll be all saying, man, you guys like to sing. Man, you guys really enjoy singing. Well, that should be something. We really should enjoy singing unto the Lord. It really should. Psalm 102 says, worship the Lord with gladness. Come before Him singing with joy. So the protocol of what God says is worship is to come before Him ready to sing with joy. In other words, we come happy that we're going to sing. Imagine if we would do that. We don't always do that. Let's be honest. We don't always do that. Sometimes we had a crappy morning. Sometimes we didn't have a good night's sleep. And we're kind of dead when we come in. And, you know, those worship leaders, Cynthia and her team up there, and they're trying to get us excited and stir us up. And we're like, oh, I just don't feel so good. Not into it today. You know what? Our responsibility, God says, is make sure you're in it. God tells you, you need to come ready to sing unto the Lord. You need to come ready to express your praise to God. And I've always found it interesting that, you know, when you do have those days where, you know, maybe you had a headache or maybe you didn't sleep well and you come to church, you say, oh man, I'm having such a hard time. But when you make a choice to say, I'm going to worship God anyway, I don't care if I feel bad or terrible, I find it so many times, I've even watched headaches, oftentimes they go when I start to worship. And I just start to concentrate on him. Things just seem to go. And that's what praise does. That's what worship does. Come before him singing with joy. Singing that comes from our heart. And you know, a song sometimes can arise out of your heart that's not even like the song that you're singing. I like that when that happens. I like that when our worship leaders, sometimes they just break out into some spontaneous praise. And a spontaneous song. That you're just singing straight from their heart, spirit to spirit with God. I love that when that happens. That's cool. It might be tough for some people when they're realizing, I have no idea what they're doing. They're singing praise directly to God. Join in with that. Join in with it. You know, and when we have the song of God in here, it doesn't actually really matter what song you're singing in the natural. And, you know, I do know that we all, again, we have our likes, we have our dislikes of what types of songs and flavors of songs and beats of songs. But, friend, if it's in here, then you're not going to have a problem when you sing, no matter what the song is, because there's a song in your heart that just begins to overflow. See, a lot of worship is about heart condition. About the inside. It's not about the style or the expression or even the atmosphere, although those things all help in worship. But worship needs to come from the heart. And if Jesus is in our hearts, then it just should be a natural overflow out of our hearts that we just start to sing praises unto God. That, yeah, that even when you're in your home, that just suddenly you just start to sing. Or you're out doing some work, you just start to sing and someone catches you. What were you just doing? I was just singing a little tune. And sometimes that just takes place because it's in here. And if it's in here, it's going to get expressed out there. And we want that. Shouts of joy, songs of joys. And friends, if we don't have joy in worship, there's something missing in our relationship with God. You know, we can blame all... It's the worship leader this morning. They just weren't good enough. No, I don't think that's the answer. I think the answer is no, we just weren't responding. We just weren't there to get in there. You know, as I started looking at these passages of scripture of worship in the Bible, I really had to go into a time, I was just asking, God, forgive us. God, forgive me. God, forgive us as a church. God, forgive us as churches. And so I was just looking at all the various ways that we can worship God and how that throughout the years we've sometimes just kind of wiped them away and said, well, I don't like that, so it's almost like we scratched it out of the Bible. I don't like shouting, so we're just going to scratch that out of the Bible. Well, I don't like dancing either, so I'm going to scratch that out of the Bible. And we only kind of leave into the things that maybe we're comfortable with. I think we need to be paying a whole lot of more attention to what God says he's comfortable with instead of what we're comfortable with. You know, there are some studies being done of churches that have been, really going on all the trend-setting things and trying to do the focus on making sure we're relevant to today and all those things. And that's important and good. But they said, the study set showed that those churches are plateauing. They only go so far for so long and then they plateau, while the charismatic church continues to grow all around the world. All around the world. What's a charismatic church? It's a church that starts to praise. It's a church that starts to open up their hearts to God, open up their hearts to the Holy Spirit. But I was looking at How did it all happen? I look at my own upbringing and pretty much a reserved lifestyle as well, and lots of areas of biblical worship that kind of was foreign to me. I said, well, how did that ever happen? Well, I think it just basically came back to our opinions. You know, sometimes our opinions are so strong that we just kind of choose to write off things because I don't like it. When we should be looking, what does God like? Stop worrying about what everyone else likes and start worrying about what does he like? What is he saying to us? That's the message of Revelation to the churches. Listen, you need to be looking at what the Spirit is saying, not what everyone else is saying out there, not what the latest trend is today. You need to be finding out what the Lord is saying to you today. And worship needs to be something that is joyous, joyous, joyous. And yet when we look to the trends of worship today in our churches, we often find that people avoid our times of worship. They don't even show up for them. It should be a joy to worship the Lord. No matter the song, no matter the styles, even though they do have a bearing, they do. But again, preference should not be our focus. God needs to be our focus in our worship and in our songs of joy. And that joy needs to be evident that we come ready to sing, ready to worship, ready to sing unto the Lord. And you know, so if you had an argument before you came, sometimes that's how the enemy can work. You get into an argument before you come. Or something happens. Well, you kind of deal with it before you come into the door. It's just, okay, Lord, we're sorry. I'm going to focus on you. I'm here today to worship you. I'm not here just to have fun at a church. I'm here to worship you. And I'm going to sing unto the Lord. And then thirdly, from this text in Psalms, we see that our worship should include times of acknowledging God for who he is. Using our voices to acknowledge and make declarations of who God is. Psalm 103, acknowledge that the Lord is God. He made us and we are his. We are his people, the sheep of his pasture. So what we're doing, we're acknowledging that. We're declaring things that, you know what, God's real. God's true. There's a real experience and knowing God, and we confess that. We acknowledge that he is God. And we recognize that, you know, we're worshiping God, and that we recognize that he's worthy of our worship. We worship him for who he is, for what he has done. He's alive. He is our creator. He's the one who made us. He is our savior. He's the one who has saved us from our sins. It's acknowledging that we are his people. We are his sheep. We are the ones that are to be following him, not the other way around where he follows us. Our focus needs to be on following him, acknowledging him as God, as Lord of our lives, as ruler of our lives, as master over our lives. That's who we need to declare him to be. And again, that's part of worship as well, to make a declaration. God, you're worthy. God, you're worthy. Thank you, Lord, that you love me today. Thank you that you care about me today. Thank you, God, that you saved me. Thank you, God, that you delivered me and all those kinds of things. It's important. And if we're finding it difficult to worship, because sometimes that happens. Sometimes we have those days where it just seems so difficult to kind of get in there and worship. Well, again, start focusing on who your God is. Start focusing. And I find every time you do that, it doesn't take too long before praise and worship starts to flow out of your mouth. So that's a good thing to do, to acknowledge, to declare who God is, because that's another expression of biblical worship. And then fourthly, in this psalm, we see the expression of praise being given as a form of worship before the Lord. Psalm 104, enter his gates with thanksgiving, go into his courts with praise, give thanks to him, and praise his name. Worship means getting your praise on. It is like the Bible actually refers to it as a garment. It's like making that choice in the morning that you go and you into your closet and you take out that garment, that coat, and you put it on and said, this coat is a garment of praise. That's how I'm going to help myself today and get my head on straight today, because I'm going to put this garment on. It's called the garment of praise. The garment of praise for the spirit of heaviness. Feeling down, feeling discouraged, you put on that garment. Go into that closet and get that garment on. So, and in praise, we acknowledge that God is worthy. He's worthy of every expression of our worship. He's worthy of all glory and all honor and all praise. And as we praise him, the Bible says also begin to thank him. Praise should include times where we're thanking God and giving appreciation to God for all that he has done. And again, when you have those times in your life where you may be struggling with praise, then take that time to focus on things that you can praise God for and to thank God for. It's amazing how it can change your mindset, how you feel, how you think, as you start concentrating on what the Lord has done for you. And the Bible says God loves the praises of his people. He really does that. Like last week we said, praise is a highway to the presence of God. Praise is a highway to a move of God. And so when praise and thanksgiving get difficult, change the focus. Change the focus. Start looking at what the Lord has done. Put on that garment of praise for the spirit of heaviness. Lift up your voice to God. It's powerful. It really is. Not only do you lift up God, but you get lifted up as you do that. So take time to express your praise and thanksgiving to God. And you know, in our church, we do pretty well in that area. We do pretty well with the area of praise. But let's raise it up a level to praise him even more. Because you know what? This nation needs God. And as we start to praise him, that invites him in. We want to be inviting him in as part of, as people here in this nation of Canada. Let's invite him in that he might touch the whole nation. Then lastly in this psalm, we're reminded to proclaim that the Lord is good. It's another type of acknowledgement and praise kind of being put together. We're speaking, we're declaring that God is good. It's giving an expression of worship unto God and saying, God, you're good. You're good. Sometimes we don't say that enough. Sometimes we use our time to complain about God instead of telling God how good he really is. Psalm 105 says, for the Lord is good. His unfailing love continues forever, and faithfulness continues to each generation. We serve a good God, and we should let him know that he is good. After all, does not the Bible say every good and perfect gift comes from who? Comes from him. So if you had something good happen to you, guess who ultimately was part of that? God was. He tells us that. He also says God loves to give good gifts unto his children. He's a God that loves to give us good things. That's him. He's good. God's good to us. He doesn't treat us as our sins deserve. That's a big one. God is good. God is good. And if that's not enough, well, we need to remember that God loves us. He loves you and I. He loves us so much that he gave his one and only son that whosoever would believe in him would not perish but have everlasting life. He loves us so much that he tells us that nothing can separate us from that love. Even the demons of hell, they can't separate you from his love. Even if we mess up in our lives, he cannot separate us from the love of God. God is good. And then if that's not enough, our God is faithful. He doesn't give up on us, even though we give up on him. He does not give up on us. He keeps his promises. We can count on him. And his faithfulness extends not just to us, but to our children and to our children's children. He's a good God. And he's worthy of our worship. He's worthy of us proclaiming, declaring his goodness. So let's include that in the worship. God is so good. God is so good. He's so good to me. We used to sing that little simple little chorus. Remember that? God is so good. God is so good. God is so good. He's so good to me. Just a simple little song. But it's good to proclaim that in our worship. God's good. Now, we could continue today with lots of other expressions of biblical worship that we didn't even highlight or even talk about, like stillness before the Lord, reverence before the Lord, kneeling before the Lord, lifting up our hands to God, clapping our hands, and a whole lot more. But maybe we'll do them on another Sunday. But this message is just to get us started and to remind us that God is worthy of every expression and every form of worship. We might have our own preferences. We might have our own styles and likes, and that's okay. But just be open for that. Maybe that other person that maybe be a little bit different than you are, and they may want to worship a little bit different than you worship. The focus needs to be what's in here and then what comes out. But what's in here is important to God. So let's expand our worship. Let's concentrate it on it more. Let's prepare ourselves to come into this place ready to worship. Because he's worship. Let's not shortchange him on our worship. Let us give him the worship he desires. And so as we close here this morning, I'm going to ask the musicians to come back. And normally in our church, we usually end a service with a song. But this morning, I asked the worship team if they could maybe sing like 3 or 4 songs or whatever. And just to lead us again in a time of worship, just that we've heard some things about worship, and we really do want to enter in and worship. Now, as we do that, we do want you to feel comfortable. Worship the way that you are comfortable in. We don't want to make you worship in any different style that you're not comfortable with that. That's okay. That's okay. Usually as you grow in God, your expressions of God begin to grow as well. And so, you know what, that'll come. The important thing is it's coming from here. And so if you're a person that maybe you're a more reserved background, and so for you, just simply closing your eyes and just thinking about God is your style, that's okay. That's good. It's coming from here. That's what's important. Maybe you're the other side where you're just free and, man, you jump, you dance, you sing, you shout. Fantastic. All that comes from here. Because that's where he's looking. Does it come from here in spirit and in truth? We're different individuals. Thank God that we're all different. We have different ways, and God gives us many different ways that we express ourselves to worship. And so for this month, really want to encourage you, take time to worship, not just in church, at home, when you're driving the car. I like doing that. People think, you know, with all the modern technology, they just think you're talking on the phone. So you can sing and people just think you're talking. You know, they don't look at it strange anymore that they see your lips moving in the car when they're going by or whatever. Start praising him. Start worshiping him. So could we stand together and end this service? We're going to sing a few songs and then we'll have a time of dismissal and a time of prayer if people want prayer. But our worship team is just going to lead us in a time of praising him and worshiping him. And I just want to encourage you, just worship from your heart. And if you want to use one of those expressions of worship, you want to give a shout, you want to lift up your hand, you want to close your eyes, you want to do some praise, it's all good. It's all good. Be yourself and enter in and worship him. Thank you.